can I invite you then, since I am in you? Or where could you come from in order to come into me? To what place outside heaven and earth could I travel so that my God could come to me there, the God who said, I fill heaven and earth? So then, if you fill heaven and earth, does that mean that heaven and earth contain you? Or, since clearly they cannot hold you, is there something of you left over when you have filled them? Once heaven and earth are full, where would that remaining part of you overflow? Or perhaps you have no need to be contained by anything, but rather contain everything yourself, because whatever you fill, you contain, even as you fill it? The vessels which are full of you do not lend you stability, because even if they break, you will not be split. And when you pour yourself out over us, you do not lie there split, but raise us up. You are not scattered, but gather us together. Yet all those things which you fill with the whole of yourself. Should we suppose, then, that because all things are incapable of containing the whole of you, they hold only a part of you, and all of them the same part? Or does each thing hold a different part, greater things larger parts, and lesser things smaller parts? Does it even make sense to speak of larger or smaller parts of you? Are you not everywhere in your whole being, while there is nothing whatever that can hold you entirely? What are you then, my God? What are you, I ask, but the Lord God? For who else is Lord except the Lord? Or who is God, if not our God? You are most high, excellent, most powerful, omnipotent, supremely merciful, and supremely just, most hidden, yet intimately present, infinitely beautiful, and infinitely strong, steadfast, yet elusive, unchanging yourself, though you control the change in all things, never new, never old, renewing all things, yet wearing down the proud, though they know it not. Ever active, ever at rest, gathering while knowing no need, supporting and filling and guarding, creating and nurturing and perfecting, seeking although you lack nothing. You love without frenzy, you are jealous yet secure, you regret without sadness, you grow angry yet remain tranquil, you alter your works but never your plan, you take back what you find although you never lost it. You are never in need, yet you rejoice in your gains. Never avaricious, yet you demand profits. You allow us to pay you more than you demand, and so you become our debtor. Yet which of us possesses anything that does not already belong to you? You owe us nothing, yet you pay your debts. You write off our debts to you, yet you lose nothing thereby. After saying all that, what have we said, my God, my life, my holy sustenance? What does anyone who speaks of you really say? Yet woe betide those who fail to speak, while the chatterboxes go on saying nothing. Who will grant me to find peace in you? Who will grant me this grace, that you would come into my heart and inebriate it, enabling me to forget the evils that beset me and embrace you, my only good? What are you to me? Have mercy on me, so that I may tell. What indeed am I to you, that you should command me to love you, and grow angry with me if I do not, and threaten me with enormous woes? Is not the failure to love you woe enough in itself? Alas for me! Through your own merciful dealings with me, O Lord my God, tell me what you are to me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Say it so that I can hear it. My heart is listening, Lord. Open the ears of my heart and say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let me run toward this voice and seize hold of you. Do not hide your face from me. Let me die so that I may see it, for not to see it would be death to me indeed. The house of my soul is too small for you to enter. Make it more spacious by your coming. It lies in ruins. Rebuild it. Some things are to be found there which will offend your gaze. I confess this to be so, and know it well. But who will clean my house? To whom but yourself can